welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 193.
Or 180 plus 13.
No, it's 1 week from 200.
Oh, yeah.
It's a miracle. You've been warned.
Jonathan often roams when he's on the phone as he has his AirPods in, so I could just flush to see what happens. Did I ever tell them about my auntie?
I'm not sure if you did, but do share again, because it's worth hearing twice.
Jonathan, don't do what my auntie did. She dropped her iPhone down the toilet.
It was an iPhone 4, though, and now she's got a new one.
Yeah, maybe it was a ploy.
I wonder if you can claim any house insurance for stupidity. What do you reckon?
I don't know.
Jonathan, you don't want to do that. You'd have to try and buy one AirPod. Wow, you've been busy in the chat. What are you like? Right, let me catch up. Jonathan was first. Jonathan's clearly on a roll, given his work week has finished early. Yes, Lola was convinced we were starving her. She was obviously lying to herself.
She's only had about 100 treats.
Honestly, she's really gone.
I was going to say tweets.
No, we don't want Lola on Twitter. It would never end well. What's the matter now? Have you got people bothering
you?
No,
I've got nobody bothering me. It's down to 5%. It needs charging.
Oh, you're trying to kill it, are you?
I'll go and charge it in a bit.
I'll sort my watch out shortly. Yes, Jonathan, I trust you're setting yourself up for a good victory tomorrow and not a loss, because it would be doubly as embarrassing, wouldn't it? Yes, Lola had today...
She started off with two schmackos and a rodeo stick after breakfast.
Oh, right, go on. Because I took lunch.
And she had a bit of chicken at lunchtime, followed by another schmacko.
Did she?
Yeah.
That's not what she told me when she came in here and said, Mummy, I haven't had a schmacko at all.
Really?
So I gave her a schmacko.
Really?
And then she looked at me so pitifully, it was the brown eyes, so pitifully, and said, Mummy, can I have one of those big dentist sticks? So she made off with that then. Then she had her dinner. Now, did you give her any treats after dinner, or was that the problem?
No, that's why she's been moaning.
That's the problem. Yeah. And she has been moaning, literally. I have finally caught her talking. Which reminds me, I've left the phone down there. Right, I finally caught her talking, telling us how disgusted she is with the service. So I'll have to try and remember to edit that later, get it off the phone and edit it. So then she had a schmacko from me and a schmacko from Mike. Then she, what was after the schmacko? The venison sausages.
Yeah.
She had four venison sausages.
And another rodeo stick.
A rodeo stick, then another schmacko, and then came back demanding the fact that she hadn't had a tripe stick, so then she made off with a tripe stick. She's going to have to go out for about a 17-hour walk tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll take in the garden a bit.
Yeah, so she was very, very hungry. Simon, you're going to have to get on earlier to beat Jonathan. He's clearly on fire at the moment. Oh, which is handy, isn't it, for Saturday's theme? Saturday's theme on Brooklyn's Fire and Ice. Right, so what else has been going on here? Jonathan's in a very good mood, isn't he? He's clearly been watching the pandas and not the news.
Either that or he's had a lunch break.
Well, true. Was that a gunshot outside?
I don't know.
Either that or a car backfiring.
Yeah, I scheduled this. I did this reoccurring appointment. I set it up a couple of weeks ago when I started doing all my scheduling for October, November, December. Well, a bit of December. I scheduled no training or meetings between 12 and 1 each day. But I accidentally ticked the box that said every day. So when I looked at BusyCal, because my work calendar pulls through to that, I'm wondering why I've got these appointments on Saturday and Sunday. So I had to go out to my work calendar and change it to Monday to Friday. Apart from today, because I had something at 12:30.
Work-life balance. Yes, don't get me going. Don't get me going on that one. It was always in their favour until all of a sudden, like in March, it was, can you work from home? And that was like, well, it's no problem for us. And then it was, they wasted thousands on how we're going to get everybody back to work, only for the government to say, can you work from home again? Cheers. Which means the work-life balance thing suddenly disappeared, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Funny that.
Talking about working from home.
Don't cough into the microphone and deafen everybody.
Sorry. We were all supposed to be going back mid-October on a rota basis. So you're put into a blue team or a red team.
Oh God, they'll be rioting in the streets next, so there isn't a yellow team.
I was put into the blue team.
Really?
Yes.
You should put in for a transfer request straight away.
Wasn't happy with that.
That's why it should have been more neutral.
But the other thing was that the other two people in my team who were based at Macclesfield were in the red team. And the idea was the blue team were in 1 week and the red team were in the other week.
This makes a mockery of going back to work for companionship.
So I'd... Companionship?
Well, you know what I mean. I'm bored at home. I'm lonely.
So I'd have never got to see him anyway.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, it's not. So they hadn't finalised... They'd finalised what team you were in, but not what the dates were. So we're waiting for that. And then, of course, Boris made his announcement and it was all off. Well, actually, no. What they did is they sent... They sent an email around, but they also put it on Workplace and they put it on Nucleus so that everybody saw it. And it basically said... if you would prefer to work from home, then have a chat with your manager. The offices will be open for those who prefer to come in. So, I haven't had a chat with my manager because he kind of...
Because he was in Greece.
Well, no, he's back. No, he kind of vaguely sounded me out about 3 months ago when it was sort of first mooted that there might be a return to work in sort of May, June. And I said, well, you know, I'd only be sitting in a meeting room and, you know, I can do all my training from here.
And the internet's 10 times faster at home.
Et cetera, et cetera.
I've got my own personal systems engineer.
I mean, whether he wants to speak to me or not, and I'll just say the same stuff, but I think he knows. So I don't think he'll waste his time. But no, one of my women came to see me today virtually.
Really?
No, seriously, because when I was in the office, Thursday mornings was my drop-in session. So as well as doing training, I would do an hour and a half drop-in. I'd find a desk somewhere and people could just come and see me with their problems. A bit like a genius bar without the idiots. And she said to me, she said, are you going back in? I said, no. She said, I thought, you know, the email they sent out was a bit wishy-washy. And I said, well, it's probably because they've made all this effort and put all this money and time into getting the buildings COVID safe that they want people to, you know, if people want to go in, they can do. And she said, she was same as what we're saying, you know, you've got to think about your family.
Yeah, of course you do.
You know, you can't go in and sit in a meeting room with one other person and both of you wearing masks and be 2 metres apart from each other and her showing me this Excel spreadsheet that she's got a problem with.
With a pair of binoculars.
Yeah, might as well do it off through Teams.
I can imagine you sitting there at the end of this, like, you know, like a boardroom table.
Yeah.
I'll just zoom you so you can see the screen.
Thing is, you know, 70-80% of my support calls are from people who aren't based at the same site as me.
Yeah.
So I'll do it through Zoom anyway.
It's totally ridiculous. Anyway, let me catch
a virtual woman, Jonathan.
Ah, CQ, CQ, Deb.
Right,
receiving.
And see the dog.
Excellent. Jonathan's going to try extra hard for tomorrow. Right, okay then. She's going to need an extra long walk to burn all that off. Well, you'd think so, but I think at the moment she can't actually move. So we'll leave her a bit. Eyes grossly larger than stomach. Let's just say that. Hello, Kim. Oh, it's rainy. That's good, isn't it? Apart from the fact that it'll be all muddy and sooty. Deb, flatline the iPad and it's now fully talking to Dropbox. Isn't it weird, the stuff that works? It's crazy. It believes in an afterlife. It is. It just... I mean, why would flattening the battery? But it's a good trick to know. And now you know it. I had to do that myself at times. And it's so annoying. It's like, what's going to flatten it the most? Obviously, leaving the screen on. And running something like a video or something like that. What I think has made home working easier is that everyone's working from home. You don't have people who are half in and half out. That's very true, Jonathan. That we had a conversation about that this week in this course that I'm doing, because some of the people there's like the presenters, and then there's like people who have done it before, they're the mentors, and then there's the rest of us, and everybody is working from home. I did see a webinar the other day, and I couldn't stop laughing at it. This one was from TechSmith, the people who make Camtasia and Snagit, and they were getting complaints about the platform that they used. And for ages and ages, they've used ON24, which is a virtual presentation platform. It's hideous. It's all component-based. It reminds me a little bit of a web-based Adobe Connect.
Do you want to go out?
I can't move, Daddy. Can you carry me?
Come on.
Oh, she's finally stood up. Whether she'll get down the stairs or not is a completely different business. Anyway, they moved to Zoom, which is obviously much better, and people are happier with it because everybody's using Zoom now. So it's kind of the commonality. But they started this thing at bang on the hour, and they did a bit of an intro. And then they started, well, it was just waffle. It was just pure waffle for 7.5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I'm thinking, are you actually going to say anything? And it was things like, oh, and there's the chat panel here, but we're not going to use that. So send in your requests here. And then they changed the screen. So they got rid of what looked like a slide that was probably in Zoom. And it went to a desktop. And this desktop was a Windows desktop. The next second, it was a Mac desktop. And this screen's flying about in front of you. And I appreciate, of course, I have, above all people, appreciate presenting online, not as easy as it looks. But you don't see me here flicking from screen to screen to screen, and you're seeing it all. It's like the keynote business. Keynote's there, and then it's not, and then it is, and then it's not. You know, you don't want to see me have to run Keynote and then get it going every time I try and use it. So I was going dizzy with this thing. So we settled. She then said, and I'm going to do the demonstration. Oh, and she had one of those voices as well. like a duck being run through an irrigator. So she says, I'm going to do the demonstration on Windows. And then she said, and I'll just share my desktop. So she did. And it was a Mac. And then she ran the program, which happened to be Snagit. And then she stops and said, oh, that's the Mac version. Having said she was going to demonstrate the Windows one. Oh, just a minute, can't find my desktop. So time's ticking on, and I'm thinking, you know, we're now at the seven, just over the 7 minute mark, and she can't even find her desktop at this stage. She was running Windows virtualized. Now, there are people who do not understand that. So she said, apologies for the confusion and the different interfaces. So she finally gets Windows up. She finally gets the right app working. And then she stops and starts again. And she says, oh, also needed to tell you. And I'm thinking, good grief, love, you've got an hour for this. Get on with it. And she said, just needed to tell you that we're all working from home now. This is because of the COVID outbreak. And I'm thinking, we all know that. Move along. And she said, so if you hear a barking dog or the garbage truck, please bear with us. It's because we're working from home. Thinking, we all know that. We all know that. I mean, it's worse in the summer, obviously, because you've got the windows open, but we all know that. She gets going with it, which was the point I was telling you, that, you know, we're all working from home now. But then it got worse. She moved her mouse down to the bottom of the screen, because obviously that's where the Windows taskbar thing is, and she was showing you pinning something to the taskbar. And then as she hovered down the bottom, the Mac dock came up because she'd not moved it, and then she had two docks and she couldn't get rid of either. So I thought, you know, rule one, if you're going to present virtually in Windows like Mike does, you will never see his dock. It's on the other monitor. Because it gets too confusing. But bless her, it was, sorry, that's the Mac dock. So I thought, we'll just move away from it. But because she wanted the Windows dock, she didn't want to move away from it, because then she wouldn't be able to activate the Windows one. Oh God, what a session that was.
He was a masterclass in how not to do it. Oh, dear.
Sadly, I am serious. What was that about? I'm obviously always serious. Anyway, if you're in the UK, Simon, Jonathan, looking at you. Have you done it? Have you downloaded the COVID app? All I've seen is people vehemently complaining. Apparently, you need a very modern phone for it to even work. It's got to have low power Bluetooth or something. So, yeah, people are all over Twitter complaining vehemently. Have I done it? No. Not going anywhere. And don't want to share the data. Oh, talking of which, data protection and sharing it. I only wish... Oh, Jonathan has downloaded it. Excellent. I wonder what'll happen when you get within walking distance of that testing centre next door to you. Because there could be people in that queue. Go the other way, Jonathan. Don't go anywhere near it. We can't lose you. No, today's fiasco was we've had a letter sitting there for the best part of probably 2 weeks. And it's our house insurance. And we moved house insurance policies because it's obviously due for renewal in September. And Mum had renewed it in 2014, which was the year she died. And I had no idea who was with what. Obviously, she would have had all the paperwork, but I wouldn't particularly have known what I was looking for. So I said to Mike, I know she's paid the insurance because I've got a cheque that she's written out. I've got the cheque stub. I said, so we're all right till September. I said, and he said, well, who's it with? I said, I've no idea. I said, but I'm sure they'll send us a reminder when it's due. And that's exactly what happened. So we got not one reminder, we got two. Because the company she was with the same company for the buildings and the contents. So we have two broad types of house insurance. There's your bricks and mortar or your buildings insurance. And then there's your contents insurance. And it was two completely separate policies. So I thought, right, once I got the renewal, I thought, right, I know who it's with now. Now I can go and find the paperwork. So I went to find the paperwork from the year before. And the quote the year before was reasonable. And obviously I'd have to add the two together. I added the two together in 2015 and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. The price had doubled. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I hadn't at that stage told them she was dead. But I mean, it's house insurance. It doesn't matter, does it? So I got on and I said, you know, is this the best quote you can do? And it's like, oh, yes. Yes. So I said, right, fine. And the thing was, I didn't particularly want to go running around looking for quotes. Because when you go running around looking for quotes, they want an email address and your phone number, and then you never get rid of them. So I can't remember how I actually ended up. I think at one point I was with this company for car insurance. So I rang them up and I said, right, you know, I'm with you for car insurance. I'm looking for a decent deal for bricks and mortar. To house chicken, as you can hear. So, yes, you're sending Morse code with chicken.
G-I-V-E.
Give me treats.
Space. M-O-R-E.
Give me more.
F-O-O-D.
Lola. Give me more food. Lola, no. You'll burst. You'll definitely burst. So... I got a decent quote off this company, merged it into one policy. So the buildings and the contents are all in one policy. And it ended up costing me that year 30% of the quote from the first company. Outrageously overpriced the first company. So we've stayed with this company ever since. Anyway, obviously it's due at the moment. So you can hear Michael Gove in the background. Oh, I wish. So we got the renewal and it was only like £2 dearer. So I said, let's go with them. So I looked at the renewal thing and I'll admit I didn't have my reading glasses on, but I read it as 9 p.m. And it wasn't 9 p.m. It was 6 p.m. So we rang yesterday to be told they were closed. And obviously this is now due on Saturday. So I said, it's all right. We'll ring them tomorrow. Actually, that was a good time to ring them. And I'll tell you why. We rang them and it was about 25 to 5, something like that.
Yeah.
We spent 15 minutes on hold listening to Sean Bean. I swear that was Sean Bean who was doing the talking. To the point, it got past 10 to 6. And I said to Mike, I think we're going to be out of luck today. We're going to have to ring like first thing in the morning tomorrow. Anyway, Eventually, somebody answered the phone. Didn't she sound young?
Yeah.
In fact, childish, not just young. It sounded like they got children working for them, you know, like they used
Maybe she was the kid of somebody who was working from home.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest.
Just answer the phone, will you, love?
Anyway, I've done this before and I know how long it takes, and that's why I put it off. And the thing is, we use it, the insurance is in my name, but we use Mike's debit card because I'm not sure I've got a debit card. I've got a credit card, but there was always a fee on top of a credit card. Anyway, we get going with this thing, and it was quite painless this year. And I'm actually thinking, when you're like, what are you laughing at? I'm actually thinking, she's rattling through this. Because last year, I swear I was on for nearly an hour. Do you want this insurance? Do you want that insurance? Do you want some more of this, some more of that? And I'm like, no, no, no. But obviously, if you ring just before closing, they're not minded to try flogging you anything at all, are they? They just want you to get you off the phone.
Mm.
So we get going with it all. Have you checked this? Yes, 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 it's all checked. Can I just check your contact information? Well, my eyes started rolling. My contact information is my address. Put it on a piece of paper, put a stamp on it and send it to me. Oh, I can't check if your email and your phone number's right because we haven't got one. Well, Mike's in the corner like it's going to kick off. So she said, I said, yes, I know. So she said, would you like to add a telephone number and an email address to your account then? I said, no, thank you. Oh, really? I said, really? Move along. She did actually, didn't she? Again, mindful, 6 o'clock, home time. That was all okay until Mike started to try to pay, wasn't it, Mike? Mm. You know that moment where she says, sorry, card's declined. I said, she's putting the wrong number in. So she tried again, got declined again. So at that point, we had to dish out another card, didn't we? So we've sorted out the house insurance.
I was so embarrassed.
I won't be embarrassed, it'd be her. But the thing was, she said...
No, that's what people are like, aren't they?
No. But that wasn't us, clearly. No. It's a new card. And I think you've got to actually... Well, what I got told and what you got told... You're the first time you use the card, you cannot use it contactless. You can use it by putting it in a machine, or you can use it online, but not contactless. And if this transaction had been branded contactless, then that was explaining why it wouldn't take it. But you know, some people have only got one card.
Mm.
So they need to think about that in these COVID times. Good night, Jonathan. Oh, poor Jonathan living close by. You don't want to walk past that place. I'm telling you, Jonathan, don't go there. Bad news.
Hi, Tracy.
Hello, Tracy. So, situation was, now we've sorted out the house insurance, that's the good news. Bad news, Mike didn't get a text from the bank saying that someone had tried to use his card. So now he's got to sort out his card with the bank.
I tried to use my card.
If you use that card for an online transaction, that is definitely an online transaction, you know, something like Amazon, then you'll be fine. I reckon that'll kickstart it.
Ask Cora, your digital assistant.
Oh, good grief. This won't end well. All our cards must be used in a cash machine before we can do anything with them. I think I've got one like that. And they actually put a sticker on the front and say, you know, you must activate the card. At least in this country, they do let you activate over the phone. So once the card has arrived... and it's in your hand, then you ring them and you tell them that you've got the card, and then they ask you for some information, both information that isn't contained in the letter with the card and information that is, so like the number off the back of the card and all that stuff, and they will actually activate it over the phone, which has always been the way with MBNS, I think. MBNS. That's it. It had a panda on it, and that's why I had a card. And then they took the panda away. It's a long story.
She's doing yoga.
She upside down again.
She's all twisted round.
She's overstuffed. Trust me. That we'll regret that in the night with the door shut. I'm telling you. So with this one, I think you might have to do a transaction, which isn't happening because we're not going anywhere. But it can still be used online. But I don't agree with that putting it in a hole in the wall. I remember years ago, I only had like one card and I had to do that. And I put it in and it swallowed it. And it arrived back about 3 days later with a note that said, sorry, which is fantastic. That left me with no money over the weekend and I was a student. Not great. So Kim activates by calling the company.
I'm not even sure if it's a new card.
It looked new because it was flat. You know, the numbers on it, they were flat and the other ones are usually embossed.
Yeah.
But the embossing on it enables somebody to take like a skim off your card physically.
It could be a new card because it hasn't been signed on the back either.
Yeah, I think you'll find that's the problem with it. Phone activate. Oh, hang on. You can't even just request a statement. And then Paul says, I had to use my last card manually before I could use it online. I found that exactly the same. When she mentioned it to me, I said, just a minute. You know, I can't use this in a store. I'm not going out. And I said, but can I use it online? Oh, you can use it online, which is fine as long as it's somewhere like Amazon or some other place online that would register the transaction, which this is what they don't tell you. It would have to attempt to register the transaction as an online transaction. But what I think happened today was I think it was a contactless transaction they were trying to put through and it wouldn't do it because the card's not being put in a machine anywhere. But can't you suspend that given the COVID situation? Because you've got to think about the people who are working in the stores who then have to give you the machines for you to put the card in and then they've got to touch it and you've got to touch it. It's ridiculous. Just make it available on the phone. But as Tracy points out, where it's available costs a fortune. Restricted number. And they have you on for about 40 minutes. I mean, that's what we were like today, but it was 0333. It's either local rate or free, isn't it?
Yeah.
And either way, we have unlimited minutes on our phone, which is why we got rid of the house phone. We got rid of two house phones and a fax line. And an internet connection on one of them and saved £1,050 a year. So that pays for a new iPhone basically every year. And if we don't have a new iPhone, then it pays for everything else, all of the connectivity. My phone charges for years. Mike's phone charges for a year, the lot. And we don't need the backup that we had on the phone line for the internet because we've got Virgin as the primary connection and then two O2 tethering capabilities. So we end up saving money on that one. But this business of it's got to be activated in person is ludicrous right now. Can you fax digitally? Yes, you can, Kim. There are many services that will let you do that. I have only needed to fax one thing, and that was to the US. Who organises your tax? The whatever that is. Ours is the Inland Revenue, come customs and excise. But the US tax service, I needed to get a thing to them. We did that physically, but you can send it digitally, and one of the best apps to do it, that's quite inexpensive, you only pay as you go, is Scanner Pro from Riedel. In Scanner Pro, there is an option to buy credits for faxing. So you basically take a photograph of whatever it is you want, and then you buy some fax credits. I'm looking here. It says fax history. I don't think I've set one. But yeah, all you need to do with it in Scanner Pro. Now, I've got Scanner Pro, which I paid for. I'm not sure if there's a free version. But you literally just press on any document and choose fax from the menu. And then it will prompt you for how much that will cost. But it is as you go. So it doesn't cost that much at all because I don't fax that much. An incoming fax is a bit trickier. But to be honest, I've not needed an incoming fax for years. Years and years. It's just when something needs to go over. The IRS, that's the one. And then I had to talk to somebody and this was so funny, Kim. I get on the phone. And I said, you had to fax this thing through while you were speaking to them. I'm not surprised you're burping after all you've eaten. Very, very ladylike that. Not. So Mike was at Staples, ready to fax the thing through to the number she gave me. So I've got Mike on one line and I've got this woman on the other. So I explained that I'm from England and I've got to fill in one of these alien forms of theirs. Is it a B something? You fill them in all the time.
W-8-B-E-N.
That's the one. That's right, an 8-Ben, I remember it now. Well, I've got to fill in one of these things. So I'm talking to her and I'm explaining, you know, I'm based in the UK and I've completed the forms and I need to send them back and blah, blah, blah. So she's like, OK, send it to this number, etc., etc. So talks it through, it gets there, she's got the facts, everything's good. Mike's on his way back home. So I said, do I need to do anything else? So she said, no, that's it, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I said, thank you very much for your help. It's much appreciated. Which is how I would normally speak to people. Anyway, she said, thank you very much. Thing was, the line was still open at her end just before she hung up. And she turned round to whoever was sat next to her and she said, that lady from the UK was a pleasure to deal with. I wish our people were like that. And then the phone hung up. I don't think I was supposed to hear that, but it was so funny. And I thought, people must get on and be quite abusive. But I was just like, please sort this out, because if you don't know, I need this paperwork to send on to the companies that I work for. Otherwise, they retain, like, I think it's about 40 to 50% of whatever you charge, and it just goes into suspense until they get one of these forms. But she was lovely. She was really lovely. But she must have one of those jobs where people scream at her all day. a premium number, 4 or 5 digit figures. Is this the 0333 thing? I think in the UK it comes in as a local call, I think. But it's included in my free minutes, I know that. But what I object to is the length of time they have you on the phone. I mean, we were on hold for 15 minutes. So we had the phone next to us because we both needed to hear it. It was Mike's card, so they need to talk to him. But it's my account, so they need to talk to me. So we had them on speaker, and I had my... You know, I'm sat in front of my computer and I've got my keyboard in front of me. I'm just working away. And eventually Sean Bean was cut off unceremoniously. And this woman answered. And I kind of went, whoa, real person. Hang on. It's just crazy how much time they waste. You should be able to bill them. Yes, exactly. That's what I said. Don't tell me you're hungry. She's got her head next to the treat box again. You know what I mean? Any more, you will burst. Most of you in the US don't care for the IRS. That's pretty much how we feel about customs and excise, I expect. But, you know, to me, she was doing a job and helping me out, getting this form sorted out. Because I'd waded through all of the stuff online and it was impenetrable. There's different versions of this form depending on where you actually are. And then it is an alien form. And then she's on about a naturalised. Oh, it got complicated. So to actually just talk to somebody and say, I filled this in. If I fax that back to you right this second, can you check it and make sure it's OK? And if I need to do anything, then I will do it straight away. Was fabulous. And she must have appreciated someone who was saying, please and thank you. No, I'm sure I was like that. I get very narky when you're on the phone for like 45 minutes. I remember once, this one was a classic, they changed how they were doing it at Customs and Excise.
Come on, hush.
So I gets my paperwork together, gets all my ducks in a row, and I actually was going to put this thing in early. Do you have an account, it said. Yes, I said. So I came, I logged in, it let me log in, and then it said, you don't have access to this service. And I'm like, but I've got an account and I've just logged in and you've just said yes. It was crazy. So I'm thinking, well, what do I do now? So I thought I'm going to have to talk to somebody, which is like the absolute last thing I want to do. So I read round it and then I started Googling it and then I realised what the problem was. You were supposed to have, you've got an account and that's fine. But then you have to register separately for each individual service you want to use. So if there's corporation tax, if there's value added tax, if there's your income tax, the self-assessment, each one of those services hangs off your account, but has to be added separately. Well, this was a panic. Lola, behave. This was a panic because it was like 2 days before it was due and it took 14 days. To add it to the account. And I'm like, that's a problem. You know, I can't pay what I owe you because it's not on the account. So I had to ring a person and speak to a person. They tried sorting it out. I think this was before the 2 days were left. But basically, when I got the paperwork from them, it was all wrong. So I had to speak to somebody else. And I think at this stage, I was on the death. And it was like it was going to be too late to pay it. So I thought, I'm going to have to ask for an extension. On the basis, it's not my fault. You've sent me the wrong paperwork twice. So I get on with this lady. So I explain the situation. And then I said, I could really do with an extension so I can get this service added to my account and I can send it to you. I said, I could do it today, but it won't let me in the account. So she said, that's no problem. How long would you like? And I was thinking if she'd give me a week, I'd be lucky. So I said, 10 days would be good. She said, oh, that's fine. Take 3 weeks. And she added 3 weeks to the thing as if it was nothing. But the thing over here is if you miss your filing date, there's an instant £100 fine. And I'm not sure if it's £100 a week or £100 a day thereafter. So it's not something that you want to toy with. But once it got added, that was fine. But I think the issue was they wanted me to prove who I was, but I already had an account. So I didn't need to go through that bit again. But when I rang the company that proved you were who you said you were, they couldn't prove I was who I said I was. Not even to me. It was ridiculous. Luckily, I had already done that bit. But it was because I didn't have a valid passport. My passport's out of date. But seeing as though we're not going anywhere, I didn't think there was much need to rush replacing it. So because I didn't have a passport, then it was, well, it's okay, we can go off your photo driving license. And I said, I haven't got a photo driving license. Not moved since 1979. Don't need a new driving license. So mine is a paper one with no photo on it. So that couldn't be used. What else do they use that I didn't have? Those are the main two, aren't they?
Gas bill, lecky bill.
No, they won't take that because, one, you could cheat too easily. And two, it doesn't prove that you actually live here.
Credit card.
Well, I offered them all sorts. I said, I've got credit cards, I've got bank accounts. I mean, I've got a bank account that the Customs and Excise know about because they take money out of it for crying out loud. But that wouldn't do either. You had to go through. It's like a credit reference agency, but then you're not asking for credit. They're just saying, yes, this person is who they say they are. And it's an ID check system that's going, but it didn't work. The only one that could potentially have worked because of the lack of a passport didn't work anyway. So I had a nice conversation with them and he said, I'm terribly sorry, but we can't prove you are who you say you are. Oh, it's great fun, this. Great fun being here. I do have a very sweet voice. Oh, thank you, Kim. She was very kind anyway, and it all got sorted out. Hello, Anthony. Extensions are common for taxis there. I've never really had to think about it before because what happened was you've got PAYE, which is called it's pay as you earn, which is you're given a tax code and your tax is taken out of your salary. And then at the end of the year, they do a quick divvy up and work out whether they owe you or you owe them.
Quite.
If you owe them, then obviously you just send them a cheque. And if they owe you, they can either knock it off the next year's or they'll send you a cheque or whatever. So that's fairly straightforward. And then in the late, about the mid-90s, everything changed and self-assessment came in, which means you fill in your own tax form, which is literally about 80 pages long. It's horrific. And this was posted to you and it landed with a thud like a telephone directory. But it was paper form based and you had to learn out how to fill the thing in. Do you remember all those things at the time with the little tax man on it?
Mm.
He looked like the flower man.
Yeah.
And it was self-assessment isn't taxing or something. And you could buy binders and you could get courses on how to complete it. It was ridiculous. So that went on for quite a while until they decided they were taking it online and that they would not encourage you to use a paper form. And the penalty for using the paper form is you've got to send it back by the end of September. But you don't actually need to fill in the online form till January. And they simplified it. So actually, it doesn't take that long online now, depending on how much you're declaring and which bit you're declaring it in. But it doesn't take that long for me. But, you know, you're looking at this progress bar and it's like 4%, 5%, 6%. And I remember you coming in and I said, I've been at this 4 hours. And then all of a sudden it jumped from like 4% to like 79%. I'm like, whoa, because I had visions of like, you know, needing a commode and provisions. I'd been there that long. But the bit that I couldn't fill in because of the ID thing, you know, I then had to wait. I'd never asked for an extension before. In fact, there was a comical one. I'd just come out of hospital, and it was about the last week in January, which is when it was due, which was when I discovered you couldn't send the paper form in. They'd sent me the paper form and then said, but, you know, we can't accept it back. It's got to be done online. And I didn't have an account at all. And then I had to get onto them. And then she got quite snotty. And I was glad that I'd made like a contemporaneous note of exactly what was said. Because she said, oh, don't bother with that. It's like the woman from Trafford Council, isn't it? You've got an envelope that says, do not ignore this at peril of imprisonment. And then you talk to them and it's, oh, ignore it. I just wish things were more organised because it's very complicated for people who, I mean, I will sort of attack it and go in and deal with it. I'll talk to people, I'll get the right form, I'll create the right account. I might need an extension to do it, but I'll do it. But some people, it must be petrifying, where they're not that great online to start with. And the last time you want to be ringing, the time you absolutely do not want to be ringing, Customs and Excise is January at any point, because you're on the phone forever and a day on hold, because it's the busiest time of the year. At this point, I know your company got a 3-month extension and mine didn't. That was bizarre. And I decided, well, I wouldn't use it anyway. You know, COVID hasn't affected me to that degree that I would need an extension. And I would rather just keep the dates the way they were. Because there'll be other issues that are coming up, won't there? Like MOTs and tax and car tax and stuff that we'll need dealing with. But yeah, it can be tricky. Anthony had a similar problem with a bank to do with work. Don't have a driving licence or a passport. Can access online banking and in theory wipe out a company account, but I can't ask for a balance.
Well, NatWest have told me everything is fine with the account. There's been no declined transactions.
I told you she'd put the wrong number in.
And there's no block on the account.
What I would do if I were you is buy something on that from Amazon. The next time you go on Amazon, try using that card.
Oh, yeah, I could buy some Toblerone.
There you go. And that way, that will be a proper online transaction. You won't have to worry about it. And then take the card off the account. But, you know, this was there's something Mike's had to do that he wouldn't have had to have done if she hadn't have made a mistake. The only other way to do the tax thing today, the insurance thing, was online. But to do it online, you've got to give them an email address. And I'm not doing that. It's as simple as that. I am the safest person on the planet when it comes to insurance, in terms of it, where with both the bank and insurance and anything else, you know, car insurance, the lot. If I get something through that purports to be from my bank, from the insurance company, from whoever, the Inland Revenue, you do not have my email address. So it's fake. No matter how good it looks, it's not genuine. So I have to decline at company's house. Now, company's house, you do need an email address to log in, which annoys me to the nth degree. But I didn't give them my real one. I have one that's just for them. So if something comes again and it says, you know, this is from the Inland Revenue, if it's not to this particular email address that I do not use for anything else, then they're lying through their teeth. And I think that's safer than all these jump through hoops things. But other people don't like it that they've not got an email address to bother you with. The downside at company's house is you don't get reminders for when your paperwork is due. And your paperwork is due at weird times. It's not the anniversary of the company. It's 14 days after the anniversary of the company. Then you need to put in accounts. And the accounts, they just seem to move willy-nilly, don't they?
Mm.
Originally, it was June and then it moved to May. So I think it's now 9 months after the date of incorporation. But I have to put them on the calendar because to give them permission to send me reminders, they'd have to have an email address. And then I'd be thinking, is that genuine? And, you know, I haven't got the bandwidth to be bothered with it. So I don't. It's ludicrous, isn't it, Anthony? The hoops they have you jumping through and then you can't do something simple. They actually said they were going to restrict my access to online banking. Because I hadn't used it for so long. I thought, well, I don't need to. Everything's like automated. And then I'd need to go in to prove I was who I say I was, etc. And I thought, I won't bother. I'm not that bothered. In fact, we're pretty much all right now because you do online banking. You got access to all my accounts anyway.
Yeah.
So no worries. I wouldn't worry about it. You have the worst R rating in the country. I wonder if the riots have something to do with it. Kim, I think so. I think so. Have I covered artistic text in Affinity? I did some a while back. Jonathan asked. Now, what would I have called that? If I was going to find it. Jonathan wanted to put an outline on a text, I think, and he was doing it the difficult way, basically. Let's have a look. It would be Affinity Designer. Oh, this is where Notion, the search in Notion could be better. One, it could be faster. Right. Artwork, no. Bosses, no. Object blurring, no. No. Working with shapes. Triangular grids. Whoa, that was a while ago. Infographics templates, no. I did, but I can't remember when. And this is not being helpful. It's telling me there's 410 results. But then there would be, because it's Affinity, isn't it? Let's put Affinity Designer and text, and let's see if that narrows it down any. Go on. Oh, so slow on Notion, the search. You were thinking about wavy text where you put down an ellipse first. Do you mean text on a path? No, that's publisher. No, Affinity, no. Search is shocking unless you know what you're looking for. Oh no. At least I've only got 9 results. None of them are the right ones. Let's take designer out of the mix.
Shut up now, mummy.
Yeah, she's that stuffed. Text on a path. I have done text on a path. I can't remember if it was an After Hours or if it was one of the box set things. You know, one of the dedicated sessions. I can throw it in again. Why not? Why not? Let's stick it on a post-it note. Text on a path. Right, I'll put it in. Jonathan's wasn't text on a path. Jonathan's was, he wanted some text. Oh, I remember doing it. I can narrow it down. It was one of the early ones. Don't you remember putting it on the scoreboard? That was the text.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the early ones when we were doing the me and Jonathan thing. Right, I'll add it and I'll try and find it. Jonathan's text. He wanted to have an outline on the text and a pattern in the text and all that kind of stuff. And was making far more of a business of it than was needed. So when I actually demonstrated it, he was like, whoa, that's easy. And it's editable. So yes, we did that. We can count up the scores and figure it out. Yeah, it must have been one of the early ones. And it was a night I'd won the point. So it's got to be within the last, we are 16-8 now, aren't we? It's got to be within the last 6 months. That narrows it down, doesn't it? I'll find it. But if I did cover text on a path in that one, it was secondary to the text actually being on the path. Because what Jonathan wanted was, he was prepared to have the text as pixels. And I think he was thinking of doing it in Affinity Photo. But that would make the text not editable. So we did it in an editable way. But I definitely remember the demo, because he nodded off by this stage and it was the demo that he actually wanted to see. And I was showing that you could actually edit it. So we changed it from one to the other. Very cool. Very cool demo. And I think he mentioned it in Slack afterwards. So, yes, I will dig it out and find that. My next task tonight, and I do have an 8 o'clock, don't I, is to sort the mail out. So hopefully I'll get that done and it will get out tonight rather than tomorrow morning, which would not be good. So I'll get on to that as soon as I finish my 8 o'clock. But I've still got 5 minutes yet, so I'll add that. It's got to have been within the last 6 months. This so annoys me with Notion. Why are you in resources? It's come up with something, but it's not the right something. Can I put a link into Slack for the mini projector? Yes, I can. That'll be... the trick is knowing where to find stuff, isn't it? And that will be in my orders from Amazon. So if I put projector in there, it was as, I think it's, is it pronounced Wampad? Zwampad?
Something like that, wasn't it?
Very weird. But yeah, is it still there? Oh, there's 15% off it in the UK at the moment. It's £62.99. So 15% of that is almost £10. Which takes it down to a similar price to what I paid. That is a very... Why are you saying you can't generate the link? What's going on here? Oh, for crying out loud. I do not want to put the long link in. Let me have the little link. This is bizarre. Okay, we'll have to take the long link because it doesn't like the short one. But there is in my, and I know this is the UK link, there is in my page, underneath the price, there's an orange flag. So this is in the detail in the middle. And there's an orange flag that says voucher, apply 15% voucher. But you don't get the 15% off unless you tick the box. But that's the projector that I use. What was stunning about that was, we bought a projector. This was in the days they were quite expensive. And it was an Epson. It was a very good one. I think we paid about £600 plus VAT probably, which was over 60% of our budget for our trainers group that year. But the thing was, we were getting to the stage where we had to say to the presenter, can you bring your own projector? So we bought it. And you know, it was so expensive, it was treated like a bar of gold. When that one came up, I thought it's...
Yeah, and people wanted to borrow it.
Oh, yeah, people then wanted to borrow it. And you know that projector, I'm going out on a freelance course, can I borrow it? And we had to say no, you know, because if a bulb broke, it was like £500 for a bulb. So we had to say no, and then you felt really mean. So when I saw that projector, I thought, it can't be great, you know, at that price. But the one we had was so old, it didn't do widescreen. So I thought, let's just take a punt on it. This was 2 years ago. Oh, it's fabulous, isn't it? I mean, obviously, it's not going to be as bright as one that you pay like £300-£400 for. But by comparison to this fabulous model that we'd only had 2 years ago, 2018, we've probably had it about 15 years. But, you know, when you think of how much that cost and you look at what this one does, amazing. Absolutely amazing. Do you remember Paul in Spain buying it and said he had no need for it, but he'd seen it and he thought, like me, that's a fabulous deal, and he bought it. And he said, I'll find a use for it later. It's got every port known to mankind on it. And you can even, it's got an interface that you navigate with the buttons on the thing or the remote control, where you can actually play things from a USB stick or a USB drive that you plug in, which means you don't actually need a computer. So there have been times when it's usually in the boot of my car, and we go out to lunch with the luncheon club, and you'd find out that somebody had rocked up to do a presentation and they'd not brought the cable, and they'd put it on a pen drive, but the pen drive didn't fit in the guy who organises it laptop, because it's a MacBook and it's got no ports on it, and he's forgotten his dongle. And there was one day I had the projector, I think, but I didn't have, there was something not there. So I said to the guy, have you got, is that on your computer? He said, yes. I said, are you connected to the Wi-Fi? He says, yes. So I said, just mail it to me. And all I had with me was my phone. And he said, what good's that going to do? Then it's on your phone. And I hooked the phone up to the projector and I said, there you go. Just tell me when to move the slide on. And I delivered it from the phone. Oh, his face. Because he couldn't manage it with the computer he brought and everything else. No, that is a good toy. That is definitely worth having. We got a bag for it, didn't we? That I'm not sure we've ever shown. The bags for these things, you know, like the projector's £50 and the bag, well, that's another £80. But we found the perfect size bag for it. I will dig it out and show it on a show. Might be useful for the days we can start doing training with humans in the room. That's possibly a way off, Anthony. But yeah, try it. Try it now. I remember trying it. I plugged it in and I thought, I'll give it a go. And I'm holding it in my hand and I'm actually like reaching upwards. So it's on the wall. It's projecting on the wall on top of my desk. I couldn't believe it. I had more pixels on the projector than the laptop. It was amazing. And the Mac obviously treats it as a totally independent screen. So it used every pixel it had. It wasn't like, oh no, you've only got this amount of pixels on your screen. That's all that we can mirror. No, no, no. Did the whole thing properly. It was amazing. It was amazing. So yes, it's something that I always have with me. Good call there. Good call. Oh dear. It's good that that's still available as well. Looking at it, it does say... Yeah, when I bought it, I think it said the 2019 model. It wasn't long before Christmas. That doesn't say I've actually bought it, but trust me, that's the one. So I think it's an updated model to the model that we've got. But I would highly recommend it, and I would buy that again. Absolutely, I would. In fact, they're so inexpensive now, you can afford to buy them and have a spare, because we priced up a bulb replacement for the one we had, and it was like, you must be kidding. It's cheaper to buy a whole new one. And of course, the remote controls would work with either, and all of the paraphernalia would work with either. And you do get a lot of cables in the bag with it. Not everything that you need, but quite a few. So yeah, that was a very good purchase, that. The purchase of 2018, that was. Ah, dear me. Oh, it's Two Show Friday tomorrow, isn't it, Mike?
It is.
I'd almost forgotten the joys of Two Show Friday. But it is Two Show Friday tomorrow, which is going to be amazing when I decide what we're actually going to do. So let's see how that goes. I probably shouldn't do this in this browser, should I? I'm keying up for my 8 o'clock, and I'm thinking it needs to go into a totally separate browser. That'll do nicely. Oh, I tell you what else has changed quite a bit. I've been looking at Vivaldi. And I've reconfigured it totally. Oh, it's amazing. So I thought a session on how to actually configure Vivaldi for productivity would be a good idea. Let me know if that is something that would interest you. I thought that was amazing. Right, now I'm in the right place. I'm getting all confused trying to get this link together. Right, just so I know who I am. So let's copy that link and see if that link works any better than the link I've already got. Hey, it does. Awesome. Now I've got a load of mail. I emptied my inbox. You would not believe this. I've now got 61 mails in it in the last hour and a bit. Unbelievable. That it was an Epson we had, Tracy, and the price of the bulbs was eye-watering. Eye-watering. And you think, oh, but, you know, I'll get sort of 400 to 500, you know, hours out of it. And then you think, yeah, but the turning it on and off all impacted it. And it's scary how much the price of the bulb was. I really genuinely bought that as a punt. I just thought, if it's absolute garbage, I'll send it back. But I thought, if it's even comparable to what we've got, I'm going to stick with it. And what we had was good for its day, and it was an Epson, so it had a name, which meant I could price up bulbs. I doubt you would, I mean, I don't know, I've not tried, but I doubt you would get a replacement bulb for this Zanpad, but you wouldn't need it. You'd just replace the whole thing. And that's why, depending on your usage for it and the budget, it's actually cheaper to just buy two of these and then you've got a spare. And that's exactly what we did. The reason we got the second one was when it came to the Christmas sale, it went down to something like £40. And I'm like, I'm having that for a second bulb. So they both live happily in a box downstairs. Obviously not seen much use in the last 6 months. But should we need them, there they are, ready to go. We could actually use them. You know this wall that people want to put this 80-inch TV on? Well, it's white and it's plain. So we could actually just put that there and watch a film off it if we wanted to. I think it's got speakers as well. I think it does the sound. And it's got a thing that you can plug in extension speakers. So it is completely self-contained if you want to put a pen drive on it. You don't even need the rest of it. The, you know, all the computer and the cables and all of that. It's a very good buy, honestly. Right. OK, my 8 o'clock is warming up. So I'm about to head off into it. Thank you very much for being with us. Hope you have enjoyed it. Tomorrow, Two Show Friday. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.